Welcome to SF Commercial Property Conversations with Bruce Bean, where Bay Area investments meet expert insights. Get ready to unlock the strategies of commercial real estate success.
So good afternoon. This is Bruce Bean speaking to Monique. And maybe, Monique, we can start out and just kind of talk about who you are and where you came from, and maybe talk a little bit about one of your early successes in your career.
Yeah, I'm originally from Alabama, but when I was growing up, my parents decided they were going to get back together after a pretty lengthy divorce and move to Alaska. So I think that was an early impression for me of, wow, there's somewhere else out in the world besides little old Alabama, which I hadn't left very much. And I think that was a catalyst in my career. Once I really look back at when I was in college at Auburn University and was looking at where the heck am I going to move after I graduate from interior design at Auburn. And so I knew the West Coast is where I wanted to be just from some early experiences and flying through Seattle. And so I wound up in Seattle right after that and did interior design for a year and then quickly moved into the wide world of office furniture.
Yes, I understand how that can catapult you into a completely different area. So you've been in sales basically all of your career.
Yeah, all of my career up until last July. So yeah, more than 28 years in a sales and leadership capacity within the office furniture industry.
So that was some wild times in the office furniture world. I know from direct experience how that all works. So did you have some early successes that you could talk about?
Yeah, you know, I think it was this interesting time. I graduated college in 1996. I had worked in interior design for a couple of years in Seattle and then quickly moved to a local Herman Miller dealer in Seattle. And so this was during the time of some pretty early technology that was being tested and looking at, you know, how can we move quicker? We were also kind of in that ride on the dot-com era. And so I was fortunate that I was bridging this gap of technology and also this interior design knowledge. So it was a program called Simple, Quick, and Affordable. And it was the early days of intelligence behind symbols. So you could actually take something, drop a symbol in, price it out, and actually place an order. So I became very popular in our organization because I was one of the few people that really understood technology.
So that was a real game changer, it sounds like, for the whole industry itself and for you as a person working in that career.
Yeah. I think it definitely still needs to evolve, but I think there's some interesting things happening right now. I think with the introduction of AI, it's really going to accelerate. I think a lot of things in the design industry is, you know, the hardest part is trying to get everybody onto a single platform that so you can have the intelligence built into the symbol with the sizing and the pricing and those type of things. But there's some interesting companies outside of the industry that I think are doing some pretty cool stuff that is going to make it a lot faster to design in the future.
Wow. So AI is going to affect the whole design world, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, man, if you know, you think about the length of time it actually takes to design a floor plan, you know, we have designers that sometimes can work on that stuff for 2 and 3 weeks at a time with different iterations. And, you know, I just look at some of the basic things I can throw into AI and get spit back out today. I think in the future, you know, you'll be able to upload a CAD plan and have, you know, 20 designs in 5 minutes or less, is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought about that world as having an effect on AI. So were there some bumps along the way? I mean, this is a pretty interesting career. So I'm sure you ran into a few little glitches that happened.
Yeah, the dot bomb. So we had the dot com, then we had the dot bomb, another financial crisis, and COVID. So I think those three things combined throughout my career have been really interesting to watch. I think we can sit around and, you know, think the sky is falling, but the next day or the next year can look totally different. And so I've gone through a couple of those cycles and had the opportunity to live in San Francisco for a while and come out of that financial crisis, which I think was a heck of a lot of fun too. So lots of ups and downs in the market, but I think in the office furniture industry or just any industry, there's always going to be change, which I think breeds a lot of different opportunity.
So then you recently have transitioned into a leadership role or training for leadership. So tell us about how that works.
Yeah, I was so fortunate that I worked for Herman Miller during an era. And for folks that are listening that aren't furniture people, Herman Miller is probably, I would say, the most widely known office furniture company in the world, and which was recently merged, or they acquired Knoll and became Miller Knoll now. So some folks might know it by Miller Knoll, but I was there during the age when there was a lot of training that was happening. And I think if you were tagged in certain areas as a future leader, that you were really accelerated through a program which is called the Leadership Challenge. And so I was fortunate enough in two organizations to be a part of the Leadership Challenge and go through that training, which really helped catapult my career and my approach in my personal leadership style. And so, you know, over a year ago, I was looking at what am I going to do next in my career and what does that look like and how do I help more people and work in a broader way to help organizations grow and create positive change. And so I became accredited in the Leadership Challenge. So that is what my context I'm working from, but I'm also doing a lot of strategic planning and career coaching with a lot of folks as well.
So tell us a little bit about Leadership Challenge. I mean, I'm familiar with it from kind of afar, but I don't really know that much about it.
Yeah. So there are two gentlemen just down the road from you that used to teach at the University of Santa Clara University. And they created and wrote a book, which was based off of five practices, which form the Leadership Challenge. So it's Model the Way, which is, you know, showing up with your values, having integrity, building trust within teams. Number two is inspiring a shared vision. So if you look at a lot of the surveys and things that are out there, a lot of people don't know where organizations are going these days. And I think that that's kind of stood still through the test of time. And then the third practice is challenging the process and then enabling others to act. And then a courage in the heart should be something that's used throughout. So those are the five practices, but it starts off with a 360 review, which is really looking at the objectives or the 30 different ways that leaders show up and what their direct reports, how they think that they actually show up within those characteristics.
So this group of listeners is primarily commercial real estate or real estate people investing in real estate. So what advice might you have for that specific group as to how to lead a team into sort of buying, selling, and owning real estate?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, nothing gets done today on your own. And so I've actually talked to quite a few brokers that are on teams because so much of that is team selling these days. And so it's really, you know, when you take that 360 review and you get that feedback, I think it brings a lot of self-awareness and how you're showing up. It may not be, you might think that, you know, Bruce might be showing up every single day, listening, telling everybody what vision they're on and kind of where the organization's going. But the reality is, your teammates might not think that. And so I think that with the 360, it's just a really great tool to bring self-awareness and then more empowerment for the teams to be able to work together.
And obviously become much more productive in the process, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, teams that have a clear vision and a clear culture tend to outperform others. So there's definitely tons of research around performance metrics and how whenever you can bring those groups together, that they're going to perform better.
Is there an example that you might pull up that showed how this worked in your path, in your career, I guess?
I've been on a couple of other podcasts and I talk about this a lot, you know, enabling others to act. You know, I think I've grown out of this maybe a little bit, but I have an extremely high sense of urgency. And so in the office furniture world, you know, there's lots of deadlines, lots of things that have to get done. And one thing that I used to do, which was naughty, is taking people's work away from them and doing it myself. And that is not a great example of enabling others to act. So, you know, rewinding the tape and looking at that, it's like, you know, raising your hand, getting more help sooner in the process versus me, you know, trying to take those things away from people and do it for them.
I think that's a common problem that a lot of people in real estate and in business in general, they get frustrated with a, you know, delegating a particular piece of work, and they finally just say, oh, let me do it, you know, and grab it away. And so it's always difficult to kind of,
well, especially when you're working on deals and you're, you know, you're in a competitive situation. You're like, we got to get this done.
Right. Well, quit screwing around. We got to get this done. And some people don't act quite as quickly as you might hope, or, you know, the result isn't come out quite the way you want it. So it's always a frustration, but those are interesting situations to work around. It sounds like the leadership challenge and the 360 review can help people kind of go down that road a little more quickly, a little bit more effectively than in without it.
Yeah. Well, I think too, it gives you a common language to be able to speak to each other. I think that that is something that's lost in corporate America, and especially, you know, with the introduction of, I'm looking for my phone right now, like technology, there's so many different ways that you can get in touch with folks. I just was doing a board facilitation recently with a board that's a volunteer board. So you've got lots of people coming from different backgrounds, and their big thing was, can we all get aligned on how the heck we're going to communicate with each other? And so everyone agreed, we're going to start a group text, and that's the way that we're going to start to communicate, because, you know, we don't need 2-page emails. We just need to answer things really quickly.
Have you ever used Slack? I've recently come into Slack, and it seems to be a very good way to communicate with people.
Yeah, I love Slack. I think especially, you know, I worked for another smaller furniture manufacturer called Hightower Group, and we were on Slack. And I think it was, you can incorporate a lot of fun into that as well, I think, when you're in an organization. But it's a really great place to be able to search and be able to communicate pretty quick and on the fly.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So I think that is about all the questions I have. Is there something that you want to say that I've left out?
Now, you know, I just keep going back to, this was a post that I did the other day. You know, there is so much research out there and so much information around leadership that I think that the more that we can empower our people with, you know, the right tools, the right vision, communicating frequently and creating a common language, I think you can build really high performing, strong teams that way.
So how would someone get a hold of you?
So my name is a tricky name. It's Monique LeCompte. So it's MoniqueLeCompte.com is my website. And all of my social is exactly the same thing, except for you'll find me on Instagram as Monique_, and my tagline, which is elevating others, which is something I think I was really born to do.
Elevating others a little easier than LeCompte.
Yes, elevating others is way easier to remember.
So MoniqueLeCompte.com.
Yes.
That's good. I like that. So very good. I think this is fantastic, and we look forward to seeing you in the future. So I'm sure we'll be talking here. So
okay. See you in the Bay, my friend.
Oh, yeah. You'll be back down here soon, I'm sure.
Yes.
That's a wrap on today's journey through the SF commercial real estate scene. Ready to share your story? Visit sfcommercialconversations.com/guest. Your insights could lead the next conversation.